This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Shaoning. 8:45 a.m. Thursday, the 23rd of April. And in about 15 minutes, we're bringing you the KLCI opening numbers, as well as some of the latest corporate news. But in the meantime, we're taking a look at green zoning, because the COVID-19 pandemic has forced the world to reassess and retrain common habits, from the handshake to the simple act of opening a door, as the virus spreads via physical proximity. Now, as governments and countries around the world impose measures to curb the spread of the virus, how we come out of the lockdown really is the next challenge.
Yeah, because the priority is to avoid a resurgence of the virus while minimizing the societal and economic damage. Now, interestingly, a group of mathematicians and economists specializing in modeling random and uncertain situations in particular have proposed an exit strategy that focuses on the concept of green zoning.
So for a deeper look into this exit strategy, we speak to the authors themselves. Miguel Olio-Barton, Associate Professor at the Université Paris-Dauphine, and Barry Pradelsky, Associate Member of the Oxford Man Institute at the University of Oxford. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, the both of you. So your recently published proposal suggests identifying green zones and progressively joining these zones together as an exit strategy from these lockdowns. Could you break it down for us how this would work?
So let me start by saying first that in most countries right now, we are undergoing quite a severe lockdown. So what we are interested in our proposal is how to safely and efficiently transition back to what we would consider a new normal. And so based on our finding in our mathematical study, which is based on a field called graph theory, we propose to partition a country into separate components. So the components should be counties, towns, or suburbs. And each area would then be labeled red or green. Red would mean, on the one hand, that the virus is not under control and the strict lockdown measures need to remain in place. And on the other hand, green would mean that areas where the sanitary system is operational, the growth rate of infections is low, and the future risks appear manageable. So now we have those red and green zones. And the idea is that once a zone is identified to be green, the lockdown measures are gradually lifted and the return to normal life can happen. And as a second step, progressively, we could join together more and more of those green areas to build larger and larger green zones where it would be less and less restrictive. They can move freely within those larger and larger green zones. And so the idea of this process is that while we are cutting off the red zones, it offers an efficient way for the green areas to grow larger and larger and to return to a more normal economic and social activity sooner.
The paper also mentioned that the partitioning should consider commuting zones. Can you explain what this is and how it would work if, say, a green zone is surrounded by a red zone?
So commuting zones were introduced by two sociologists in the 90s, Tolbert and Sizer, and a Spanish economist, Monraz, actually proposed to think about them during the COVID pandemic. And the idea of a commuting zone is that it captures geographic areas that have high levels of commuting inside, but little commuting outside of them. So you can think of a commuting zone as a local labor market. And so the idea would be that the partitioning of the country should take this local labor markets into account and ideally define the zones such that local labor markets can operate as normal as possible once they're green. So regarding your second question, we would hope that a green zone, which is surrounded by red zones, on the one hand, obviously there would be very limited interaction between these zones and it should be as small as possible. But if zones are defined carefully, most people should be able to live a fairly normal life within their green zone already. But as you mentioned, evidently for some, this will not be the case. So some people will still not be able to go to their work because they live in a red zone and not allowed to a green zone, or vice versa. And here, we believe that governments need to have, as many governments do already now, programs to financially support those who are not able to go to work and those who are not allowed to travel there.
So Barry, how would green zoning be implemented and enforced? Are there examples of countries already implementing something similar?
So enforcing the green zoning will need to be determined on a country-by-country basis. This will also depend on the enforcement and also depend on how a country reacts to rules, reacts to streets, for example, being cut off. And also we can imagine that this might differ even within a country. So it's easy to cut off two towns from each other, but within one large town, it's difficult to completely cut off suburbs from each other. What is quite notable is that when you're asking whether this has already been used in some countries, is that between countries, the approach of cordon sanitaire, the approach of separating them, is already implemented very rigidly. So even within the European Union, cross-border traffic has virtually halted. And so therefore, between countries, it's really already implemented. And if we go into a more granular level, actually in India also has implemented strong lockdown measures. For example, in a town which was quite a bit in the press, which is called Bilwara. And so partial reopenings in India depend on the local situation. And while in some areas there's already more interaction allowed, others are still cut off.
Now, Miguel, what are the advantages of this exit strategy, and do you foresee any downside to it?
So naturally, if we propose this green zoning, is that we believe that if we implement it, we will gain more than we lose from it. So let's start with the gains. On the one hand, the economy and also the social interactions can already start at a local level in many places before the virus is under control in the whole country. And this way, to mitigate the societal damage compared to a nationwide lockdown, meaning that psychologically, business-wise, the fact that some even small zones are labeled green, very beneficial effect to the inhabitants of the country. On the other hand, the process is safe, efficient, and tractable, meaning that it is beneficial for handling both the areas which are under control and those which are not, just by really well defining, carefully defining what red means, what we have to do with red areas, what we have to do with green areas. This is something that we can manage in time in a very efficient way. Now, one drawback that I see is on the psychological side. One green zone might become red if the virus suddenly stops being under control, and then the inhabitants need to go back to a lockdown, which might be very difficult to accept for some people. The answer to that is that it's an alternative to a permanent lockdown. So it's still the possibility of trying, and those zones which are successful, either by chance or by behaving well, they would be progressively rejoined together. Another risk which needs to be carefully mitigated is to see the same protectionism that we can observe on a country level could also happen on a local level. So we don't want these little villages to close and to become like this kind of protectionism that could be bad. So if the zoning is not done with the great care of the social and political ties, it might also lead to an increase in inequality and segregation between communities. This community is doing well, your community is doing bad, etc. However, since zoning is only temporary, we believe that this can be handled through careful communication by the local authorities. So, wrapping up, there are some drawbacks, or at least some caution that should be taken by the political authorities to make sure that psychologically and politically, every community and inter-community, this whole process is handled in a way that is beneficial for everyone. But we believe we can do so.
But coming back to the question of enforcement, I mean, people are worried that such measures would lead to an almost Orwellian authoritarian type of government, as seen represented in the US. Do both of you see any possibility or any truth to this?
Okay, for me, this is a very, very serious issue. People's privacy should be respected because this is one of the most valuable assets of democracies. We don't think, so I am talking in name of Barry as well, that tracking people's position or temperature is something good or necessary. Rather, the definition of zones, the implementation of borders and so on can be done in various manners which are much softer. Some borders can be legally implemented by fencing off areas or cutting some streets or highways or controlling the access to highways, while others need to remain recommendations. So you cannot enforce some of these borders, but you could possibly fine in order to limit the transgression. For instance, if you're controlled outside of your red cell, then you need to pay a considerable amount of money, and which doubles in case you do it again. I understand how people feel about this lockdown situation, because also there is not a clear statement of what the strategy is. So far, we are waiting. It's not clear what we're waiting for. I think that if we went back to a more local strategy, people would understand that all we're trying is to control the virus at a local level first, and that would probably make them feel less lost in this nationwide politics. So yes, I understand people's fear about states becoming authoritarian, and personally, I find this threat even more dangerous than the virus itself. So we think that the green zoning should be an alternative to that, not going on that direction at all.
And if this exit strategy is implemented, how long would it take for the country to reopen, and can it be sustained?
Whether green zoning can be successful, I think, will really depend on other complementary measures as well. So it will depend on the testing capacity, whether that is increased, on sanitary measures such as the wearing of face masks. Our simulations, which we did with our student Luc Attia, suggest that when those, in case those supplementary measures are also in place, the country could be returned to a new normal within as little as 2 to 4 months. And to the second part of the question, whether this is sustainable, we propose to break up zones again and relabel them red again in case the virus resurges and is out of control in some small area part of the country. So in a lot of sense, for most of the country, this will remain sustainable, while some areas might have resurgence and might have to go back to a partial lockdown at some point. From our point of view, though, this is an acceptable status quo until the vaccination is hopefully widely available and can allow us to return back to the old normal.
So finally, I mean, if green zones are established, does this mean that we can relax the social distancing measures?
Okay, yeah, that's a very good question. So unfortunately, I think that some social distancing might still be necessary within green zones. So first of all, our proposal is thought to complement, but not to replace the sanitary measures that are in place, such as wearing face masks or washing hands or social distancing. And second, and maybe most important, what a green label means needs to be carefully defined with a consultation of medical or epidemiological or economic experts. In fact, after this consultation, a more cautious terminology would be to call them amber zones. This may be preferable to communicate the gravity of the situation and the fact that, yeah, still many sanitary measures should remain in place. I'm afraid that this social distancing is a way of keeping the virus under control as far as there is no vaccination or there's no herd immunity that is reached. So we can think of progressively lifting these measures, but always by measuring exactly what is the effect on the propagation of the virus. We do not look in our process to eradicate the virus, but rather to maintain it under control. So all measures that can help on that should be maintained as far as the virus is among us. So yes, I'm afraid that social distancing might stay for a while.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, for speaking with us this morning. That was Miguel Oliu-Barton, Associate Professor at Université Paris-Dauphine, and Barry Pradelsky, Associate Member of the Oxford Man Institute at the University of Oxford, talking a little bit about how green and red zones can be used to help a country transition out of lockdown periods. We already have a version of this in place. The government has designated certain areas as red zones, and I think those are under an expanded movement control order at this point. It's how much better can we utilize these designations as we possibly transition out of the MCO now?
Yeah, but this takes it a little bit further. Mm-hmm. So now we know, okay, like let's say Lembah Pantai, that's like a red zone, right? And then I think the state of Perlis is a green zone. But the point about these red and green zones is that you actually technically aren't supposed to move from one red zone to another green zone. So people that all within green zones, yeah, you can kind of commute among them, but you can't cross from green to red and red to green. That's the idea, right? So the idea is all about containment. But with that comes, of course, some issues, right? I mean, let's, for example, if you need to work, what do you do? Mm-hmm. So their point is that, okay, then the government has to step in and provide some assistance to those who can't commute for work, who live in the red zone and shouldn't go to the green zone. But there's also some form of psychological impact, right? Because if I'm in the red zone, life isn't going to be that great versus those of my friends or my family that are in the green zone who can move about more free. But all this is down to actually, I guess, trying to find a way to contain the virus. It's not going to eradicate it. Neither are you going to be able to have your old life back, even if you live in a green zone. It's just one of the mathematical formulas, I guess, that they have come up with to think of, exit strategies.
Yes, and these are things that we have to start looking at, particularly if the MCO is set to end on the 28th. But right now, we are heading into the 9 o'clock news bulletin, and after that, the opening numbers from the KLCI. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.